one day.
Good morning, radio listeners, and welcome to Because He Lives, the radio ministry of the Church of the Nazarene in Barbados. I am the Reverend Lindsay Arthur, the assistant pastor of the Western Light Church of the Nazarene in Oxnard, St. James. And I'm the director of Lifelong Learning Barbados, which is the Christian Education and Training Division of the Church of the Nazarene in Barbados that is affiliated with the Caribbean Nazarene College. Thank you for welcoming us into your homes this morning. Don't change that dial. We have good news for you. News that will equip you to lead a fulfilling and rewarding life. First, let me thank our sponsor, Federal Motor Spares, for supporting this radio ministry. Federal Motor Spares is an automotive parts retail store. They are located at Bank Hall Cross Road near the Bank Hall Church of the Nazarene. They have been a reliable partner in our ministry for many years. So shop for quality automotive parts at Federal Motor Spares. Let me also remind you that the Church of the Nazarene has been present in Barbados since 1926. That's a long time. We currently have 33 Nazarene congregations across Barbados. And next year, 2026, we will celebrate our centennial, 100 years of ministry in Barbados. We thank God for helping us reach this important milestone, which we plan to celebrate in a big way. Stay tuned for more news about our centennial celebrations in the weeks and months ahead. Let us pray. Almighty God, we acknowledge your presence with us this morning. We want to hear from you another time. For without you, our lives have little meaning. Thank you, dear Father, for calling us to be disciples of Jesus, not just in name, but in commitment, surrender, and love. Today, as we reflect on the cost of true discipleship, we ask you to give us the courage to follow Christ fully, even when the road is difficult. Teach us to place you above all else, to trust your plan, and to persevere in faith. Let your Spirit guide our hearts and strengthen our resolve to be faithful disciples of Jesus. We surrender this time to you, asking you to shape and transform us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This morning, we present the second installment of a three-part series, Journey to the Cross, Lessons from Christ's Final Days, in which we reflect on the teachings and actions of Jesus as he prepared for the cross, drawing lessons for our own walk of faith. Last week, we examined following Christ in the face of opposition, and we looked at John 12:12-19, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And if you were here with us last week, you will remember that we learned three lessons from that text. First, Jesus is often misunderstood. The people expected a political king, but Jesus came as a suffering savior. We must follow him as he truly is, not as we want him to be. Second, we learn that true discipleship requires trust. Even the disciples did not understand everything at first, but later they realized God's plan was greater than they imagined. Third, we learn that following Christ means facing opposition. The religious leaders rejected Jesus, and many who shouted Hosanna later cried, "Crucify him!" We must remain faithful even when the world turns against us. Today, we move deeper into our series to explore the cost of true discipleship. And our text is taken from Luke chapter 14, verses 25-33. Jesus calls his followers to radical commitment. But what does that really mean? Is following Christ easy and comfortable? Or does it demand something deeper? Our passage begins with a large crowd following Jesus. I want you to imagine the scene. Excitement is high. People are eager, and many are drawn by the miracles Jesus has performed. But Jesus turns to them and says something quite shocking. And I quote, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." End of quote. This is a radical statement. What does Jesus mean? What could he mean? We learn from verse 26 that following Jesus requires supreme loyalty. Jesus is not telling us that we must literally hate our family, but rather that our love for him must be greater than any other relationship. So in other words, we must be willing to choose Christ above all else, even above family, comfort, or personal desires. The truth is that many people struggle when their faith puts them at odds with family traditions, cultural expectations, or even their own religious backgrounds. Some challenges may include believers having to choose to follow Christ in the midst of family disapproval and pressure to follow family traditions. Believers feeling pushed towards traditional career paths, while also feeling called to full-time Christian ministry. Believers being criticized for parenting their children according to biblical values. Jesus understands this struggle. He himself was misunderstood by his own family. John 7:5 tells us this. Yet, he wants us to trust him above all else. Jesus says, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." Matthew 10:32. We live in a world where being a committed follower of Christ is often unpopular. There is social pressure, and of course, we fear rejection. For example, speaking about faith in the workplace or among friends can lead to tension and isolation. Holding biblical values on marriage, sexuality, and morality can result in ridicule or backlash. Choosing to live with integrity when everyone around you is cutting corners or making compromises can make a person an outcast. Indeed, it can be tempting to stay silent or compromise to avoid conflict. But Jesus calls us to stand firm. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 1:8, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord." We must be constantly asking ourselves, do I seek approval from people or do I seek to please God? Galatians 1:10 addresses this. There is a cost of true commitment. Some follow Christ when convenient. But true discipleship requires commitment. Examples of commitment may include giving up a well-paying job because it requires unethical practices, deciding to remain pure even when culture pressures us to do otherwise, prioritizing worship and serving the Lord even when friends invite us to other distractions. Jesus doesn't call us to a half-hearted faith. Rather, he calls us to surrender everything. Jesus says, "Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Matthew 10:39. The truth is that following Jesus also requires bearing our cross. And we see this in Luke 14, verse 27. When Jesus walked the earth, the cross was not a religious symbol. It was a symbol of death, suffering, and public shame. To carry one's cross meant walking the road to execution, fully surrendered to whatever lay ahead. Jesus calls us, his disciples, to this same radical level of commitment. Following him is not just about believing in him. It is also about daily surrender, sacrifice, and obedience. Carrying our cross means letting go of personal desires, ambitions, and control, submitting instead
to God's plan.
Some examples of dying to self may include choosing God's way over our own desires, even when it is hard. Letting go of pride, selfishness, or bitterness to walk in humility. Dying to self means giving up control and trusting God, even when we don't understand His plan. We have a good example of dying to self in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done." Luke 22:42. Carrying our cross means being willing to sacrifice comfort for Christ, embracing inconvenience, hardship, and even suffering for the sake of Jesus. Examples of sacrifice may include giving up personal time to serve others instead of focusing only on ourselves, prioritizing worship and devotion even when life is busy, financially supporting God's work instead of spending only on personal wants. Jesus says in Matthew 10:39, "Whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Carrying our cross means remaining faithful through suffering and trials and rejection. We often experience these types of hardships in today's context. When we face mockery or exclusion because of our faith, we find ourselves having to stay committed to God's principles when pressured to compromise. We find ourselves having to trust God through sickness, loss, or unanswered prayers, believing He is still working for our good. So we must endure hardships for the sake of Christ. For God's word promises, if we endure, we will also reign with Him. 2 Timothy 2:12. Jesus gives two practical illustrations in Luke 14:28-32. He gives two practical illustrations to emphasize that discipleship is not a casual decision. It is not something into which we must enter lightly. Christian discipleship. In the parable of the tower builder, in verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, "Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it?" That's verse 28. Jesus uses this parable to teach that discipleship requires careful consideration, long-term commitment, and endurance. The truth is that starting is easy, but finishing strong requires perseverance, sacrifice, and unwavering faith. We live in a world where instant gratification is the norm. Many approach faith with enthusiasm, but struggle when challenges arise. True discipleship is not about quick results. It's about long-term faithfulness. Many, indeed, start with excitement, but few endure. Examples of starting strongly but not finishing well may include falling away when prayers aren't answered the way we expected, drifting away from the faith when distractions and responsibilities take over, or even becoming discouraged when you do not receive recognition or seek quick results. God's word exhorts, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus." Hebrews 12:1-2. Jesus warns that trials, temptations, and hardships would come, some of the most common of which are disappointments. "God might not have answered my prayer in the way that I wanted." Persecution and opposition. Losing friends and opportunities because of one's faith. Spiritual fatigue. "I've tried to follow Jesus, but it has become too difficult." Worldly distractions. Some people feel as though they have gotten too busy with their work and family and personal ambitions to bother to continue with being a Christian disciple. But Jesus calls us to remain faithful even when it is hard. He tells us in John 15:5, "If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The fact is that finishing well requires daily commitment. To build a strong faith that lasts, we must do some very important things. We must stay rooted in God's word. A shallow faith won't survive storms. We are reminded of that in Matthew 7:24-27, where it says, the wise man builds his house on the rock. We must develop endurance through trials. Hardships refine and strengthen our faith. James 1:2-4 tells us that. We must stay connected to a faith community. We need support and encouragement to keep going. Hebrews 10:24-25 reminds us of that truth. And to build a strong faith that lasts, we must keep our eyes on the eternal reward. The cost of discipleship is great, but the reward is greater. 2 Timothy 4:7-8 tells us. The second parable, or the second example or illustration that Jesus uses to emphasize that discipleship is not a casual decision, is the parable of the warring king. Luke 14:31-32. Jesus says in Luke 14:31, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. When he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000, a wise king calculates the cost of battle before engaging in war. If he realizes he cannot win, what does he do? He seeks peace before it's too late. If we are going to apply this teaching to our lives, we must understand that we must let go of divided loyalties. Many of us try to balance following Jesus with pursuing the world's values. But Jesus calls us to a single focus, his kingdom first. Some examples of divided loyalties in today's context might be prioritizing career success, wealth, or personal ambitions over obedience to God, seeking approval from others instead of standing boldly for Christ, being consumed by entertainment, materialism, or comfort, leaving little room for spiritual growth. Jesus tells us, however, in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Surrendering everything means placing Jesus as Lord of every area of your life, your time, your relationships, your finances, your goals. We must break free from the old life. Following Jesus requires leaving behind the old ways of living, sinful habits, worldly mindsets, and self-centered priorities. We may have to break free from sins like uncontrolled anger, greed, addiction, or gossip, toxic relationships, or influences that pull us away from God. We may have to break free from past hurts and unforgiveness which prevent spiritual freedom. God's word says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. True disciples, my friends, surrender their old life, trusting that God's plan is far better than anything they leave behind. If we are going to be faithful disciples of Christ, we will have to engage in the spiritual battle. Spiritual battles may involve facing temptations that pull us away from God, dealing with discouragement and doubt during trials, encountering opposition or persecution for standing firm in your faith. But the truth is that God enables us to stand firm. He says in Ephesians 6:11, we must put on the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. Surrendering everything means equipping ourselves daily through prayer, scripture, and reliance on the Holy Spirit. There are some practical steps we can take to surrender everything to God. These may include daily surrender in prayer. Begin each day, my friend, by saying, "Lord, I give you my life, my plans, and my desires. Lead me in your will today." We will have to evaluate our priorities. I encourage you to ask yourself daily, am I seeking God's kingdom first? What am I holding on to that is keeping me from following Christ? If we are going to surrender everything to God, then we're going to have to eliminate distractions. Identify what is competing with your devotion to Christ and take steps to remove or limit those distractions. Furthermore, we are going to have to lean on God's strength. Remember, surrender is not about perfection. It's about dependence on God's grace. Trust Him to give you strength to persevere. Jesus never promised that following Him would be easy. He never did. But He did promise that following Him would be worth it. Jesus concludes this text in Luke 14:33 with a bold statement. He says, "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." What exactly does this mean for us? Surrender may mean letting go of possessions. To be sure, Jesus is not saying that we must be poor, but rather that our possessions must not own us. True disciples use their resources for God's kingdom rather than for personal enlargement only. Surrender may mean sacrificing comfort. Following Christ is not always easy. In fact, it often requires stepping out of our comfort zone. The question is, are we willing to go where Jesus leads, even when it becomes difficult? Surrender will mean yielding our wills to God's will. Many people want Jesus as Savior, but not as Lord. And true discipleship means saying, "Not my will, but yours, Lord, be done." Friends, today, let us encourage ourselves to embrace the cost of discipleship by daily surrender, taking up our cross every day, loving Christ deeply with a love for Jesus that exceeds all other attachments, endurance in trials with a commitment to keep following even when life is hard. Let's embrace the cost of discipleship by faith-filled obedience, following God obediently as Jesus did when he was tempted by Satan, and trusting that the cost of obeying God is worth his reward of eternal life. Many people want the benefits of Jesus without the cost of discipleship. But I want to remind you that Jesus reminds us that the reward is far greater than the sacrifice. He says, "Whoever loses their life for me will save it." Luke 9:24. I challenge you this morning to follow Jesus completely, no matter the cost. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us to a life of true discipleship. Help us to surrender completely to you, to embrace the cost of following Jesus, and to trust that you are worth more than anything this world can offer. Strengthen us to remain faithful, even when the path is difficult. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining us today. Be sure to tune in next week as we conclude our three-part series, Journey to the Cross, Lessons from Christ's Final Days, by exploring the love that leads to the cross. May God bless you as you walk in faith and follow Christ, no matter the cost. Because